from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Dory.
So we're going to overtime. Devastating turn of events in the Olympics right now. As again, this is not something that is directly going to impact the United States for a while. This is not their group, right? This is Group B. But France was up 84-80 with 20 seconds left. France had the ball. France has this guard that looks like Patty Mills, but is not Patty Mills. And all you have to do, right, if you're France, is just not give up a 4-point play. And, Jason, that is exactly what Japan does. They give up a 4-point play. They foul the 3-point shooter. He makes it, and he makes the free throw.
Stupid basketball.
You got to say,
foul
like,
a 3-point shooter.
That is just
that's basketball 101.
I mean, right? I mean, that's that. Like, how, right? You know? I mean, just if he makes it, God bless
Come
him.
On, man.
You know, just don't be close enough to him. And now, look, I mean, it's 80. It's
There's
86,
only one way to lose.
86-84 and one. Wimby going to the free throw line. We were so close.
Yeah, y'all can sense you feel let down.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you wanted to see a huge dog like that get over the finish line, and now they're just going to lose by 10. You know, so it's like it never even happened, this upset bid. But, yes, going to I'll be your Olympics correspondent, your Olympic hoops bat. You know, you guys act like you're just so above Olympic basketball.
Well, we're above paying attention to anybody else.
Yeah, see, that's xenophobic.
Especially as it relates to
That's xenophobic.
Basketball.
It's a xenophobic attitude.
And with KD back, we can afford it. It's not xenophobic.
Greece, unfortunately, lost to Spain. I was rooting for Giannis. Obviously, you know, he has never, I believe, been a part of the Olympics. This is his first Olympics. Because they didn't qualify in for the Tokyo Games.
Good. And Steph both.
And so I was really rooting for him today to get a win because they competed very hard against Canada. It was not to be, though. Spain shot like 65% from three. It was absurd. It ain't Powell and it ain't Mark. But they got some dudes like...
Oh, it's Santi.
Yeah, it's Santi and it's Rudy Fernandez, too. He was still making some threes out there, man.
Mm-hmm.
So... that happened. Canada continues its dominance, 93-83 over Australia. Australia was a very popular upset bid. They're a very popular pick, at +6.5, Jason. But Canada made sure to close the door, even despite being down at half. They were down 49-45 at the half was Canada. They switched Lou Dort onto Giddy, and it was over from there. That was the end of it. Dude, Lou Dort is just, he's underrated in terms of his value. Defensively.
Yeah, Luka figured him out, though.
He did. That is true.
Again, Luka's one of the greats.
Right.
But I'm not just going to act like he shuts down everybody.
Okay, so if...
Dort is elite, though, on that end. Don't get me... He's one of the best.
If you get outside the top five, you know, he's probably locking down anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he shut down Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram was terrible.
But Lou Dort on defense is a plus.
Yeah, and okay. he was the difference today.
Started out well on Luka, then Luka figured him out.
Yep, and then we got France, Japan going on right now. Rudy Gobert going to the line for two, and then we at the final in the final game of today's slate, we have Brazil and Germany, also Group B here. We're headed, I think, towards that Germany and France tilt. That, you know, we both said yesterday we like Germany in, and then mm-hmm. you see them struggling.
Wouldn't mean as much if France had lost.
Correct. So, a death struggle here.
Yeah, but we still get the same setup.
I think,
like
you know.
Like you said, it'll be like this never happened, this close call.
You know, I guess you were hoping to get, you know, Germany as an underdog or something. It ain't happening. You're getting Germany as a favorite, and that's just the way it's going to be. So anyway, that is the Olympic basketball update for the day. Some things did just occur in the Olympics on the side that we can't discuss, right? So you'll have to get on the internet if you want to find out what happened in the Olympics outside of basketball, right?
Don't ruin it.
I am not going to say what happened.
I want to know. I mean, again,
I can't tell you. I'm not allowed to tell you.
I know what's happening. I know what it started at 11:15.
I cannot even confirm that, my brother in Christ.
But we got that, so I'm just going to watch it in the primetime package with Brad tonight.
Yeah, we're going to watch it in the primetime package. Yep. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Like, I'm going to ask the audience here.
Careful.
I'm just going to ask the audience. Do you guys want us to talk about the live Olympics? Or, like, would you rather us just not spoil it?
It's a programming decision. We make the decisions.
I know, but it's like I respect the people here too, though, right? Like I respect the, you know, what they feel, you know, in terms of the, you know, the vibes. So I'm just curious. Do you guys watch it live at work? I mean, some people like work, but like don't, you know, like some people just put it up. They pull it up on their iPad on the side and just have it as white noise or whatever. So. Yeah. But again, until I get that understanding, Jason, there will be no discussions about anything.
I already know what Simone and Childs are doing.
You got this. No, we're not talking about them. We're talking about outside of the Olympic, outside of that.
Now, you said outside the basketball bubble.
Yes, exactly.
And now you're saying outside the gymnastics
bubble. I'm not saying not outside the gymnastics. I'm just saying, you know, it's just I can't give too much away. You know what I'm saying?
It's fine.
Our rugby team gave it everything they had against New Zealand. You really need to look up Portia Woodman, though.
Dude, is she the one that arm wrestled Jason Kelce? I saw it.
She probably is
one of the players arm wrestled Jason Kelce. Very close.
But you got to watch her in rugby action.
I'm sure she runs them over,
bro. Not only that, she literally carried one on her shoulders into the end zone.
I've noticed they got big necks.
Yeah.
Strong shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
you have to be in rugby.
I guess so. Do you know the rules of rugby?
I've watched a little bit.
Okay.
And you know what my take has been when my wife's been sitting?
What?
Much like football.
Okay, much like football.
You can see how we took it from them.
But what's the difference? What are the key differences?
The origins. You can see them. What's the difference?
What are the key differences?
Well, the damn ball stops and they just pick it up on their own and they go. We got refs that blow whistles and stop it.
There's no whistles. There's no whistles.
There's a lot of whistles, actually. I mean, it ends up, it feels like there's a lot of whistles, but it's not necessarily. There is more action. Do you realize? You know how we've looked at
like
NFL,
the game action.
And if you take the commercials and everything out, it's very little game action because of all the time in between play. That's not the case.
Correct.
It feels like with rugby, that keeps going. This is actually a discussion, you know. Worth having, probably. Rugby players would tell you, well, yeah, we've been saying about this about our game, your little football. But you can sort of see the differences. I mean, they can't stop. And you feel that there's that pileup, and then the ball pops out. They're going again.
Right.
There is no reset by the ref.
Okay.
There is no play clock. You know, that's the major difference to me watching it, that you got to be your stamina. Not just strong. You're talking about how big these women that are playing it are. No, there's that, but there's also this stamina of having to do it. Have y'all seen the French dude that's like considered one of the best in the world, DuPont?
I have not seen him.
Go check him out. He's a whole nother breed of dude. Like he's a full. He looks like he could play like Tom Rathme, like a fullback in the league. But to be able to continually run like he does, that's another kind of shape,
right?
That I don't think even NFL guys maybe could withstand. Not that, you know, maybe some of the best, yes. But you're constantly moving. Constant. That's the biggest difference to me.
Yeah.
You haven't come out of your basketball bubble to watch anything else.
That's
so you
correct.
Can't speak to it. But Brad and I are out here. We're watching the whole thing. And we like to watch it with our wine.
Okay.
Some of us.
You and the wine.
So don't spoil anything.
You and the wine is hilarious. Yeah.
I love that picture of Brad and his wife enjoying the Olympics, taking it in. On their
it only
time.
Comes around once every 4 years.
Right. And he's right. Tariqa and them, they've done a great job of packaging it. So really, at a time where, let's be real, the content is thin elsewhere, they've got us sucked in.
Right. Now, I will say this.
And Snoop is everywhere. Have y'all noticed how they're, he's earning his check because they're putting him at damn near every event.
Exactly. Now, is the Winter Olympics we don't care as much about, right? We kind
of course we don't.
We punt those.
We don't punt them, but the ratings aren't nearly as high, I wouldn't imagine.
Okay.
They've been falling for all Olympics up until this one.
Are we good at those? Are we good at the Winter Olympics?
Come on, bro.
I don't know. I'm asking honestly. We're good at those?
Yeah, we got skiers.
Okay. All right. Are we better at summer or winter?
Summer.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's your Olympic update today on the Jason and John Show.
Next story.
Are y'all aware that Tigers football practice starts tomorrow?
I was just recently made aware of this by you 5 minutes ago.
Most anticipated football season in school history?
Tell me.
Probably, right? I would say that's probably true.
Several Tigers have been named to preseason watch lists here ahead of the first official day of football practice. I think we get Seth Henning and Ryan Silverfield talking tomorrow. After that first day of practice, but the aforementioned Seth Hennigan named to the Maxwell Award watch list. Now, that was yesterday, presented to the best the college football player of the year since 1937. That's a good thing. Seth's coming off of a year in which he threw for 3,800 yards. John and I were just talking about him going over 4,000 and the possibility. We were talking off air about that and the possibility of that happening. Really, it's 3,900 yards. I really shorted it because he was 3,883.
Right.
I mean, that's technically 3,900. So the idea that he could go over 4,000, not far-fetched at all, especially with an offense that brings back John's man Tecumseh, properly pronounced DeMar Blankemsey, as well as Rock Taylor. And Kobe Drake is back. Don't overlook Kobe Drake. He was one of Seth Hennigan's safety valves, especially felt like in the red zone would get turned to a lot there. And then, you know, you talk about the rushing offense that you should have, and that should make things easier with your passing offense. So long as you've got that, as they did last year, productive back. You know, last year it's Blake. This year it'll be Mario Anderson. And, of course, you've got Sutton Smith as another option that you can throw to out of the backfield. So a lot of options, it feels like, for Seth Hennigan and a lot of opportunity to go over 4,000 yards. Realize that's only been done twice in Tigers football history. Two quarterbacks have gone for over 4,000. Now, this is easy stuff for John because he's been through the numbers. But, Brad, those are Riley Ferguson and Brady White. Now, Riley Ferguson went for 4,257 back in 2017. He holds the Memphis – while Seth Hennigan holds many of the completions record, the passing yards for a career record, the single-season record is still held by Riley Ferguson, who threw for 4,257 back in 2017. Again, Seth Hennigan essentially at 3,900 last year. Could he throw for 300 more, 250 more, and be right around that? It could be close.
Over 4,000?
Yeah, over 4,000. Wow. I think it's a good bet for a guy that went 3,900 last year. Here's the other thing about Seth Hennigan. You remember, we've wondered about this. He, at 21, entering his fourth season, he is the only fourth-year starting quarterback in FBS to spend all four seasons at one institution.
Wow.
Yeah. So amazing. This ain't happening.
Yeah.
It is a miracle they
got him
back.
That's why I tell you, it's still, and again, Ryan Silverfield's record in bowl games is impressive, 3-1. I think the only one that they count against him is that Cotton Bowl that they didn't have a chance in. Anyway, he's won all the other ones that have gone off. But I would tell you, better than that is the fact that you've been able to keep this guy, Seth Hennigan. This does not happen in today's college football to be able to keep a guy this good and not have him pulled up. And we saw Seth Hennigan say he got down to the wire at a couple of points in Frank Bonner's story over the Daily Memphian about the offseason, the NIL pull to go somewhere else. But Ryan Silverfield managed to keep him, and here we are one day ahead of Memphis football practice. And again, I tell you, I mean, I get excited thinking about it. I saw the Tigers were offering, look like, you know, pick three game packages. They're trying to do whatever they've got to do over at the athletic department to get people excited about this season. I've always looked at it, and again, we touched on this a little bit, maybe Jeff and you did, that it does seem like we get caught up in the buildup of Tigers basketball more than we do football. We've said football's got to be good to great to move the needle.
Yes.
This feels like one of those years where they will be, and here's the cherry on top, that if you are great, get to to the extreme, there's an opportunity to go to the freaking college football playoff, something you've never had an opportunity to do. So it's exciting, clearly. I mentioned Seth Hennigan. He's not the only one making these watch lists. You also had, I want to make sure I've got everybody, Chandler Martin was named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy preseason watch list as well. Chandler Martin, we know, coming from East Tennessee State, had a monster season last year. And then Xavier Hill, the offensive lineman's been named to the preseason watch list for the 2024 Outland Trophy as well. That was today, I believe. And so Tigers getting preseason notice. It's weird. Is this the first year they've not had, or is it just me? And I'm so used to basketball brain. But that they don't do, preseason player of the year in football? We didn't get that out of the AAC media days.
I don't think so.
Maybe they just not done it for a while, and I've just not paid close enough attention.
I think it's probably a little harder for football, right?
Probably.
There's so many different positions. You kind of got to let the games play out a little bit.
Just feel like you take the top guy or the top defensive returning guy and the top offensive returning guy from the two first teams last year, or if you've got the player of the year, it just seemed and I'm paying more attention. Just Memphis is picked first for the first time ever, so we cared more this year. I could have read up. I'm sure that was probably done away with years ago. Either way, Memphis guys getting plenty of preseason accolades heading into this highly anticipated season.
Next story.
Okay, as we move forward here, I watched the TBT game last night, the quarterfinal.
The most attended TBT game ever.
Yes.
You watched it on television.
Yes. By the way, 94-90 final, France. They are probably moving on. I think that locks it up, right? They're moving on into the knockout stage. But it was not for.
I'd say Rui let his country down.
Lack of trying, man. Yeah, if Rui's out there, I mean, it was a terrible call, bro.
Was it? I didn't see the call.
It was a terrible call. So it was, but again, to put yourself in that situation, right? That's another discussion to be had. But I did watch the most heated TBT, most attended TBT game in recorded history. It was La Familia versus the Ville last night on FS1. John Phantom, my colleague at Field of 68, on the call with David Padgett. And I got to say, look, it's horrible. It's horrible basketball.
Do we have a box score from this game? Is that out there anywhere?
I don't really think so.
Okay. Not important to you. You go right ahead. But maybe I'd like to see how Chris Jones fares.
No, I'm sure I can find you a box score, big dog. Chris Jones had a tough day.
Because he had been playing well, I've been seeing the highlights.
He was playing well defensively, but, I mean, everybody had a tough day,
yesterday,
honestly, from both teams.
Yesterday, he just didn't play well.
Cool. Chris Jones, 2 of 6, 5 points.
Oof.
He was 1 of 1 from three. But listen to this for Louisville real quick, right? Russ Smith, 5 of 16. David Johnson, 3 of 13. Montrezl Harrell, 3 of 10. Nick Mayo, 0 of 2. Chris Jones, 2 of 6. These folks shot 31% from the floor and 19% from three. It was not a lot better. Well, it actually was a lot better for Kentucky. Kentucky shot 42% and 35% from three, and they ended up winning 70-61. Former Grizz Andrew Harrison, I believe he made the game winner. Yeah, he made two huge threes, including the game winner that sealed it 70-61. So I don't really pay attention as much to TBT. I mean, it was the talk of the group chat. Because Fance is in the group chat and he was calling it. So I was like, all right, let me check in on this. No, there's nothing else on TV. I'm obviously boycotting the Olympics after the mockery of the Last Supper. So I have nothing else to watch. So
nonsense. You're going to add fuel to the fire for these people.
Yeah, well, that's what it was.
Adam texting me yesterday. People are angry.
Well, they should be. They should be. Because that's just one thing that you don't do.
We've had it explained. Not Dionysus, but...
Dionysus.
Dion, thank you.
Yeah, but you know what runs rampant in the world today?
The mispronunciation of Greek mythology figures.
No, not that. Not that at all. It's the cognitive dissonance? Is that how you pronounce it?
Cognitive dissonance?
Yeah, cognitive dissonance.
You look like you've read on that.
Yeah, I always say cognitive. It's cognitive dissonance. That's what happens, right? So basically what happens when you are running into this problem is that people sort of convince themselves of certain things in the world, right? Like they go about their day, they go about their life, they convince themselves of a certain thing being true. And when they're presented a set of evidence, right, which is, for example, that this was inspired by Dionysus and not the Last Supper, it's mental discomfort. It's mental discomfort for those people that were, again, previously convinced for some reason or another.
It tells them you're not supposed to be angry anymore.
Right.
You can be.
And so.
And then they're like, no, you can't tell me I'm not angry.
And so I think
you tricked me.
That's the world we live in today, right? That's the world we live in entirely when it comes to politics, when it comes to. And I think deep fakes, by the way, artificial intelligence only, I think, amplify this issue. People just dig in.
Social media, too.
Because they're fed sort of this. the algorithm.
Yeah, feed the animal.
The algorithm understands exactly what you want to hear, what you want to see, and it feeds you that, whether it's right or wrong, and you're just convinced. You're just convinced that this is true, and no matter what, right, no matter what evidence is presented to you, you reject it. You reject because you don't like the feeling, the mental discomfort that comes with that, right? That's the world we live in today. A lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people. And it's definitely going to be studied for generations to come. And it is a byproduct, absolutely, of social media. Because, not that we intended to go here, but we got time. We used to live in a world where there were undeniable truths. Newspapers of record were held to that standard. There was trust in traditional media, right? There was trust in if the newspaper reported it. People used to say that, right? Like, oh, I read about it in the, you know, that's true. But what has been broken down, and I think intentionally by certain administrations, is trust in traditional media. That if it's reported, it's fake news, right? It's fake news. So we believe the things that come to our doorstep on social media. That's what we believe because that's an algorithm, right? That's based on your interest. It's based on what you want to read, what you want to hear, right? So that's the problem is that we joke about the Last Supper versus Dionysus, but that's been brewing in the world. That's been brewing in the world for almost a decade now, over a decade now, since social media became so prominent. People just, they believe what they want to believe and what they want to see. They don't want to believe the objective truth. People are more inclined. I guarantee you, there. If you drew a Venn diagram of people that actually believe that scene was inspired by the Last Supper, I bet you there would be an intersection of people who don't trust the media, who don't trust newspapers, who don't trust who say fake news, who say things like that. I would put my life on it. I would put my life on it that there is a intersection of people who feel that way. Now, what does that have to do with TBT, you're asking? And the answer is nothing.
That's amazing.
The answer is nothing.
How you go from the TBT to...
But...
It is.
It's well laid out, actually.
But it's true. And I think it's the condition of our time. You know, you and I, and all of us, right, we work in media. So I think we have sort of a predisposition. I'm not saying that every report ever is right. I've been wrong. You've been wrong. Brad's been wrong. It happens. You know,
facts.
But what people tend to do is they overemphasize that incident or that moment, and they just extrapolate it to mean that you cannot trust the media, that you cannot, when there are actually journalistic and legal standards that journalists are held to. And, you know, but again, this has been intentional. This was an intentional act in America, okay, from 2016 to 2020. We ain't got to mince words. We know that. It was an intentional effort to undermine the media and to basically chip away at any trust in the foundation of our institutions from an information standpoint to where now do we live in a world where we won't agree on anything. Mm-hmm. We won't agree on anything. If it appears in the New York Times, if it appears in the Washington Post, there is no newspaper. And here's the other problem. While I'm on this tangent, we have spun off all of these different media platforms, right? Like so, and they're geared toward a certain demographic, and they're geared toward a certain subset of Americans that, again, amplify the things that they want to hear. It's almost like a customized, and y'all know what I'm talking about, Newsmax and News Nation, and again, they will sort of give you the news, but they will give you the news that they want to deliver the news, right? And again, that's all been a very elaborate plan, you know, over the years. And I don't know if we can ever change it back. I don't know if we can put that toothpaste back in the tube, honestly. The best that you can do is, you know, I would tell you, the New York Times is the most reputable newspaper that has ever existed, you know? I mean, there's nobody I would trust more. If the New York Times reports something, buddy, it's gold. But again, America does not, at least half of America probably, does not accept that as fact. So anyway, It was actually very heated last night in the TBT because my man who shoots the granny shot free throws, Onuaku, spit on Nate Cestina, who was killing him from three, right? He was killing him from three, and he spit in his face, and there was about to be a brawl. I mean, there were 13,000 people here. Thank God they had security and police, because that definitely, I was watching it live, it absolutely, I thought it was going to escalate. I thought it was going to be an all-out
Myra
brawl.
Myra Metcalf wrote about it. It was double the previous attendance record for TBT, because that's what Kentucky and Louisville can still bring out, folks. And a brawl nearly went off, but was stopped. I guess it was security that got it stopped, or would just cooler heads among the teammates.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely that.
He spit on the man for putting L's down up.
Yes, and he was. I mean, it was great television. I got to say, all of it. I mean, Nate Cestina drilling them folks from three and throwing the L's down. It made me miss Memphis in this thing. Like,
so Willie Cauley-Stein was in that game.
Willie Cauley-Stein was in there. Eric Bledsoe was in there. But it was hilarious because, bro, they go to this Elam ending, right? And you know, you have to score 8 more points than the team that's leading, right? So I think it was 62-53 when they went to Elam ending, Kentucky. So Kentucky had to get to 70, or Louisville had to get to 70. First team to 70 wins, right? And Kentucky, I kid you not, went 12 straight offensive possessions without scoring. Okay? I mean, think about that. That's and 30-second shot clock in this, by the way. So do the math, right? That's 360 seconds. With the ball, that they could not score a point. They could not do it, bro. I was like, I'm sitting here watching it, and it's just like these. I text you this. It made me appreciate LeBron James, because nobody in this game is even 35 yet, and they're dying on the court. Like Eric Bledsoe was like, there was a moment there where he passed the ball back to the other guy, one of the Harrison twins. Like, I don't want it anymore. Like even Bledsoe was like. And he's, you know, he was in the league 3 years ago, right? I mean, it's not like he's been out for so long. But man, it was ugly. Kentucky won, and then it got uglier after the game. But it also made me miss the fact that we don't have a Memphis team in there. And I know why we don't, because Will Coleman sort of talked about it, that it's hard to get people to commit and practice and show up when they say they're going to show up, you know?
Right.
You need to get a TBT game together, bro.
I don't think I can do it.
Man, you can do it. I believe in you.
I would say, too, Montrezl Harrell was the sixth man of the year in 2020.
Yes, bro. And he was awful. Like, how does that happen?
There's few NBA players I've seen gone from real NBA player to out of the league as quickly as he has. And it hasn't been, it doesn't seem like stemming off of any major injury. Like, he was real player when you're winning NBA awards, sixth man and whatever else. You can call him a role guy, but he was elite at it. To go from that, that's 2020, bro. 4 short years later.
Yep.
Bro was out of the league and playing the TBT.
Yeah, that's crazy. And not playing well.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
And he's the same age as Marcus Smart. He's 30 years old.
Right.
I don't remember a key injury.
How is he not dominating in TBT?
That's what I'm saying. He's fallen off very quickly. That's what I told you. That was 2020. Was
sixth these dudes are just not conditioned, are they?
Well, I think that's a big problem.
That's what I'm hearing.
Like, Nate Cestina was the best conditioned of anybody, and I think it's probably because, you know, he's the youngest.
Right.
I think he played most recently of anybody in the game. I'm pretty sure he was there like at Kentucky in like 2020 or something like that. So I think that's probably like the, you know.
He's a young dude.
The Harrison twins were there in what, 2015?
Yeah.
Russ Smith and Chris Jones were at Louisville in like 15 to 17, something like that, right? Like it's almost been 7-8 years. Willie Cauley-Stein, like these guys, I don't know what I expected to see when I turned it on, but it was 16-10 after the first quarter. I mean, 26 points a quarter. I mean, that's like I honestly felt like midway through I was watching a rec league game at Colonial Park. I mean, the dudes were just taller. You know, that's really how I felt. It was that bad. I will say this, though. How about this take? I'm going to give you a take from the game about the future. I think Tyler Ulis is going to be a good college coach.
Point guards tend to be.
He's coaching the Kentucky team. And I got to say, like, I thought he managed the game really well. Like, when he called timeouts and, you know, as best as you can, right? But I just came with, like, okay, that was a good timeout, man. That was a good, you know.
He's an assistant at Kentucky coming
up? I don't know where he is now. I don't know. I know he was with Cal as something.
Looks like he's still on staff at Kentucky, according to his Wikipedia page.
Well, that would make sense because he was coaching Kentucky. Yeah. I guess Cal didn't bring him. Maybe Pope put him on staff officially, you know, in an official capacity. But Tyler Ulis is going to be one of the next guys.
Wow.
You know, who I think, you know, breaks through as a former player to the college, the head coaching ranks in the next 10 years. Nobody will remember I said this, but hopefully you will, especially if it's right.
Tyler Euless.
Yeah, Tyler Euless.
You're going out on a limb there, buddy.
Now,
man, that one could pay, might pay off for another 8 to 10 years.
I noticed that you did not weigh in on fake news media. Is that because you agree that it's fake news? Is that-
I left you have. I was still in TBT mode. Okay. I just wasn't ready to get off and take, you know, go down the runway with you.
Well, you know, sometimes we miss the exit, you know.
Right. The state of, you know, of America there.
Right.
From TBT. It was amazing.
Well, yeah, because it
and
got
really,
me.
I was just in awe.
Well, it just got me thinking.
I was thinking about Montrez
right.
and how we fought. And
but
you're talking about.
The opening ceremony came
something
up
something much bigger.
And so that's kind of where I was at with it. It's like, you know, I just wish that as.
Sometimes I can't fly with you. You know, sometimes you take me there. I'm sure you took Brad. Clearly, he was.
Brad was absolutely.
I just am reading the GM's email. So,
what's the?
That doesn't sound like good news.
No. They had sent me an email about, you know, politics and all this stuff. You know?
Careful.
This is not about your show. It was not about your show.
Yes, it is. He just got it right now.
No, I was talking about media.
Listen,
it's not about your show.
Fake media.
I just always, I you know, because people hear things differently than we
do. You can't cancel me.
Of course they do.
Exactly. You can't cancel me.
I'm not canceling.
I'm uncancelable. What's that?
Don't challenge him, John.
What's that white dog's name in the Neverending Story? That was me, and Brad was the little boy riding that dog in the air. When I was on that segment, what's that? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
The Nimmering Story.
What's the dog's name, man? The dog had a name.
The dog in the Never Ending
Story. Somebody was Atreyu.
Atreyu.
Artax.
I think that was it, bro. I think you nailed it.
I remember some of that mess.
Falcor.
Maybe that was
my, that. I think that's the dog that John's looking for.
Yeah, I think Falcor is who you're looking for.
A dog with wings.
The flying dog.
Yeah, my dog kind of looks like Falcor.
Yeah, I was like Falcor, and you were like, you know, the little boy in the movie, man, because he was flying with me.
Well, I was not speaking. I was in the studio. Yes, shaking a certain way. Is that good enough?
I love it, man.
You know I'm going there.
Yeah, I love it. Go see the scene, man. Go watch the scene. That's exactly what it was like, man. I was like Falcor in the clouds, bro. But Kentucky moves on. Winners get $66,000 apiece, right to their bank account.
Wow.
If they win the whole thing.
I mean, is that worth spitting on each other?
I don't think so.
Let's keep it civil, guys.
Yeah, I thought that was a little ridiculous. But I also was like, you know, Kentucky-Louisville is a more interesting rivalry in 2024 than Duke Carolina is.
Hell yeah.
It might not be more historic, but, like, which one is more like, which one might something pop off during? Kentucky-Louisville, sure.
Now, that game was in Freedom Hall, correct?
Yes. Mm.
So if you had switched it up and if it's in Lexington, is it still as heavily attended? Does it break the attendance record? Is that about the way that Louisville hates Kentucky more so than it is anything else?
Yeah.
Is that why you had double the crowd?
Well, you also had Kentucky fans there.
Yeah, sure you do, but it's mostly going to be fans of Louisville. I mean, that's what's in there.
I think it'd be the same. I think it would have been the same.
I don't think Kentucky looks at Louisville the same way that Louisville looks at
them. That's actually interesting because they flashed the graphic.
That's my point.
Dude, like Kentucky beats Louisville all the time. Like Louisville, the series is lopsided, actually. Like I didn't realize it was that lopsided, but it's not even close.
Again, I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but I think in a lot of ways the way Louisville looks at Kentucky, they hate them, is the way that we still look at Louisville. Like you're one of us, we hate you, but they've moved on. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not that isn't still a rivalry and that Kentucky folks don't hate Louisville folks. They do. But I just don't think it's the same hatred.
Yes.
You know, Louisville doesn't feel that about us anymore because they've moved on. And a lot of that is conference and everything else. But I don't think Kentucky folks hold the same necessarily level of disdain that all Louisville folks have for Kentucky folks. I think that's why it was so heavily attended the way it was.
So Louisville,
I don't think you get 13,000 in Lexington.
Louisville and Kentucky have basically played every year. You know,
they put them on the same, the same region or whatever. Yeah,
and since,
of course they
and since 2010, Louisville has won 3 games.
Oh, you're talking about real matchups?
Yeah, not real.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I thought I thought for a minute you're talking.
Yeah, real ones. So they play basically every year, and Louisville's won 3 times since 2010. I mean, that's pretty damn terrible. That's just non-competitive. And the games that they did win, they were all at Louisville. They have not won at Rupp. Since 2008. So, Yeah, and in every single game, it was 3 points. It was a 3-point win for Louisville. So, I mean, Kentucky just dominates this rivalry. So I get it, but I'm just like, you know, if those two teams can play and it's just this uncompetitive, then why can't Memphis and Tennessee play? I know we go back to this every time, but it's like, at least Memphis and Tennessee is back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's a good game. Somebody you don't know anybody could win, whereas with Louisville and Kentucky, like we know exactly who's winning. So anyway, TBT last night, Kentucky moves on to I think the semifinals against Carmen's Crew. If you're interested, again, winners get $1 million divided up for the team. They showed the winning share about $66,000 a piece, going right to the winner's bank account.
It's just sad that we can't put together a team that's got Jeremiah and those guys on it, and we're well organized. And
isn't Jeremiah playing for somebody else?
I thought it was Wichita State, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if they're out or not.
I think I want to tell you they're. Because you're down, like you mentioned, you're down to just a few now. It'd be great if he's still in it, but I think he was playing for Wichita State. We've had some of these Memphis guys go elsewhere. You should have enough of a, you know, infrastructure here that you should be able to run a team out of Memphis every year and, you know, have some continuity in terms of who's putting it together. That'd be nice.
Yes.
We just can't have nice things.
No, we cannot. No, we cannot. Anyway.
I got another quick one update.
Next story.
For Tennessee Titans fans, it's not good news. Outside linebacker Arden Key is facing a 6-game suspension for violation of the league's rules against performance-enhancing drugs. That's important because he was set to be a starter at outside linebacker opposite Harold Landry. His 6 sacks were the 3rd most by a Titans player last season. 7th-year veteran had signed a 3-year, $21 million contract with the Titans last March. So it's not going to be good. He's going to be out for a stretch that includes games against Chicago Bears. Yeah, high-powered offense, perhaps. Yeah, you're going to get a pass rush against them. The Jets, the Packers, the Dolphins, the Colts, the Buffalo Bills. It's a tough stretch that you're not going to have them. And so Rashad Weaver, Caleb Murphy, along with a rookie Jalen Harrell to fill in for Key, a tough blow for that defense. I was reading a little bit that says, you know, Will Levis is going to have some guys to throw to. You know, it's not just, you know, Pollard out of the backfield, but you got Ridley, right?
Yes.
And then what else is on that receiving core? Is that there's something else there?
Yes, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley,
and one more. I should have said Hopkins from the get go. That one. I thought there was one more addition. I made my eyebrow raise, but maybe I'm making that up.
They have. I mean, one more Burks, but I don't think that's
no.
Tyler Boyd.
It's Tyler Boyd.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep. That's it.
They got 3 legit receivers.
Yeah, I mean, they've surrounded Levis with everything.
So he has to, I mean, I'd say like this is the end of his career or anything, but he needs to capitalize with the 3 weapons right now or else they'll make a decision, hey, we'll go get us.
He has, you know, he we'll has a 4th weapon. You. Tony Pollard.
Well, I said Tony Pollard.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying that's 4. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's that's not, legit. Because you'll lose Tony. You'll use Tony all over the floor, all over the field.
Yeah, hopefully they won't overuse him.
Yeah, well, they got Tajay Spears there. You know, they'll definitely get him. You know,
still, it's going to be too much between the tackles for him because Spears is more of the scat back. So it's too much between the tackles for Pollard. I just, you know, I hope he can sustain a whole season of that.
Yeah,
because he's going to get the majority of the load, dude.
He is.
They don't have that big back type guy anymore.
No, they do not. It's different.
That's going to be Tony's role because you're putting him with Spears.
He's in Baltimore now.
Oh, very aware.
I'm
a little concerned about that role for Tony as the okay, 3rd and 1, you're gonna run Tony up in there.
I just feel like, you know, I feel like
3rd and 2, gotta pick it up. Run Tony through the tackles?
Yes.
Is he gonna hold up? We'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting. I kinda do feel like
but I like the receivers for proving it.
Right. You know? Right. I feel like Levis will do enough to at least get another year.
Well, they need to find out because again, if they wanna If they at all thought there's a possibility they might want to check in on Dak Prescott as a free agent,
yeah.
You got to know something on Will Levis this year.
I'm rooting for him. I'm like, go do it, brother. Do it.
Of course you are. You want them out of the Dak Prescott.
I don't want any major competition.
Yeah. Titans could be a team.
Who would be the others?
Giants are the big one.
Okay,
because
so
they're
I'm rooting
ready
for the Giants.
They're
as
ready
well.
For Daniel Jones to fail and to move off mm-hmm. of him. And what a huge move it would be to go get Dak.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a
and why would you? I mean, he's won 12 games for him in the last 3 years.
Yeah,
so if you're the Giants, you absolutely say he's an upgrade.
I have no problems with that.
No, that's your biggest competition to me.
Yeah.
Right now, Denver, I think it's too early, right? They'll want to see on Knicks, and that who they got now. They're coming to, you know, you got a rookie in the fold at least.
Yes.
And so you'd think they'd be at least two years off.
Giants, Titans, and Raiders feel like the three landing spots. And I honestly don't think he would go to Nashville. Could be wrong. I don't think he would go. I think it would really be between New York and Vegas. And I think he'd choose Vegas because I think he would say, I was in the Dallas bubble, you know, for so long. I was in that division for so long. I need a new start. And I'd rather go to Vegas where, you know, yeah, the division might be a little tougher, but the media coverage isn't as you know, hyper.
Dude, I mean, you have to consider the whole AFC is tougher.
That's true.
Coming out of the AFC with Patrick Mahomes in it for the time being in the foreseeable future is tougher. So I'm just saying. And Lord knows he can handle media scrutiny. And so if it's New York, he's not going to be intimidated by it. He's been the quarterback of America's team, getting questioned all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just and you think about, too, the opportunity to stay. You're not America's quarterback anymore going to the Giants, but you've got so many opportunities from a brand standpoint, being in New York, you know, with your commercials and everything else. If you can be good up there, you can really run some things. I wouldn't see him running away from New York just saying, okay, well, I like the calm of Vegas, because tell you what, I mean, it's not just, like I said, it's not just your division. It's coming out of the AFC period with the Bills, Cincy. You got a much better chance. It's Detroit, it's San Francisco, and we're asking who else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that Green Bay? Is it who's the next one to come up? Like, there's just a lot less in terms of those, you know, those landmines in the NFC, dude.
Yep.
And Dak's been successful in the NFC, 12 wins a season last three.
Yeah.
I just say y'all might have to throw a couple more million on top of the Giants' offer to beat them.
Probably will.
Because I think the Giants, that opportunity offers a lot if you can be good there.
If the Raiders aren't desperate now, I mean, I don't know what, you know, they're waiting for.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, come on. It's gotta be now. By the way, Caleb Williams in camp looking great, according to Chicago media.
They said we will find out after practice today whether we're going to get some reps on Thursday from him.
So, according to...
Come on, yes, should be the answer.
My old friend Courtney Cronin, Caleb Williams in the team period, picked off by Jaquan Brisker. I think we're going to see Caleb Williams in the Hall of Fame game based on this practice.
Understand that he's going against a top 10 defense every day.
Well, he's supposed to
be a top one QB. Iron sharpens iron, it's only going to make him better. You think he's going to be out there just dicing up a top 10 defense in the league,
right?
One of the best down the stretch? No, he's not. He's going to learn some lessons. It's going to be good for him. He's going to know what he can and can't get away with. You're silly if you don't play this kid.
Yeah. Cognitive dissonance is going on right now with you because you've convinced yourself that Caleb is the number one QB in the world. I'm giving you evidence that he's making mistakes. And instead of accepting that as fact, that maybe he's not that, you want to tell me about how great the defense is.
It's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's a good defense. Well, Montez Sweat and the boys.
It's a good defense.
Last year.
But, you know, we can't use it to excuse poor performance, which is what you're trying to do.
I'm sure Will Levis and your boy, forget Will Levis. Set him aside. He's good compared to your situation with Minshew and Aiden O'Connell.
Bro,
nobody want to see that mess.
If you spliced those two
And how many
together,
interceptions have the bums through in preseason practice?
A ton.
A bunch, tell you that. Let me tell you.
You know I hate my situation.
And that ain't a better defense than what I've got.
You know I hate my situation.
So stop.
I hate both those. I hate a Garoppolo. Both these quarterbacks.
So don't worry about a couple of interceptions that Caleb Williams throws against what should be a good defense that's really trying to – that's even said we're trying to toughen this guy up. We're going to give him our best.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We will be tested.
Don't you think that this means –
He will be tested.
Don't you think that this means that he will play now since he's throwing off picks all over the field?
He's thrown picks all preseason. It's a guy that's never taken the ball from under center. Imagine that. You know, a guy you take number one, you know you're going to run a substantial amount of offense where he's under center. He's never done it. So you have to teach.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm excited. Thursday we have our first game. I'm assuming no C.J. Stroud. So who is the Texans' backup quarterback? Is it still Davis Mills? Or was it Case Keenum last year? I mean, it's got to be somebody different now, for the love of God. It is Davis Mills. Yeah, so could be Davis Mills' time. He's terrible. Ooh, he's awful. But, yeah, apparently it is still Davis Mills and Case Keenum.
I can't wait to see him.
And y'all have...
We don't need to play our defense more in a couple series, though.
Tim Boyle is now in Houston.
Good.
He's the fourth stringer. Guess he's going to be battling with Case Keenum, but Case Keenum got that on lock.
Oh, Boyle used to be with us.
Yeah. So who's y'all? Tyson Badgett, y'all's backup?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to see a lot of
I got
of him.
No idea who's third. Maybe Peterman or something still.
Ooh.
Doesn't matter.
Ooh.
I mean, Bajan matters.
Oh, it's,
if Caleb goes down, that's when Tyson, that's when he matters.
Preseason star Brett Rypien.
Okay.
You like that?
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to see.
Man, it's very exciting.
We're going to see a lot of...
a team with three true number
DeAndre
one receivers.
DeAndre Carter and Khalil Herbert and Roshan
Johnson. I'm just telling you. Watch out, Green Bay.
Y'all got some running backs, though. I'll give you that. Y'all got some backs.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
We're rich on offense.
Yeah, you are.
We got backs. We got receivers. We got tight ends. Komet, Gerald Everett.
Man, yeah.
And got Mercedes for some reason.
DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Adunze.
That's three number ones. All of them you'd love to have on your team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Keenan is definitely in his role.
But he's in a prove-it year. He's just going to hand this thing off to Rome. Because we're not going to pay him beyond this season. He's on the last year of his deal. It's just a beautiful situation.
It is.
The best a number one quarterback has ever been handed. Don't mess it up, young man. Don't mess it up.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, then Monday, which will be next week, we'll have all. It'll be a full week, a full slate of preseason.
So can't wait.
Get ready, my friend. We'll come back. Here on a Tuesday. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you try to fam?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Yes, ma'am. From the Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is your choice and should be your choice when it comes to hiring a real estate group to help you finish the job when it comes to selling your home or buying a home. It can be pretty daunting. It can be pretty tenuous when you try to do it yourself. Just trust me. I'm sure you've been through it. If you're a first-time home buyer, they can take you through the entire process, make you feel comfort, at ease, know you're getting the best deal. And if you're selling your home, they'll help you get the most profit, make the most money for your home. reach out. So to livelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200. That's the best way to get in touch with Jennifer Carstensen and her wonderful team. It's a fantastic team. You'll know that the moment you get on the phone with them. They make the difficult, at least it was for me, both home buying and the thought of home selling. They make it simple. And that's what I appreciated most about Jen. They won't make you feel like you don't know a thing either. You've got a real relatable, personable way of doing things. And really what you find out is just their intention to help, as opposed to trying to make some money off of you like many of these agents and groups are. They're here to improve Memphis by lowering rentership and increasing home ownership. So they love, hence the name, helping first-time home buyers. And, of course, it's not just here in Shelby County. They can help you down in DeSoto County. They can help you in Nashville as well. They have grown, as evidenced by their success. They'll get you more money than even you think you can get for your home. It certainly was the case for me. So, again, that number, 901-625-5200. They're the best. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I tell you this, it's going to be a fun night, Brad, for you at the house, man. It's going to be a fun night for you when you get home and turn on the Olympics. You know, I will say that I appreciate the fact I'm bad at this. You guys huddle around the TV, right? That's a thing that you, Jake, Stace, you guys are huddling around the TV. You're making an event. I don't huddle around anything. Like, I'm bad at that, organizing family events, bro. We go to the zoo once a week or two. I don't know, once every other week. But I'm bad about that, like sitting down and like doing something as a family, bro.
I mean, you can't do it with Dom right now.
That's probably true.
Your timelines are off.
That's right.
You know, Dom can't watch.
Yeah.
He can watch, but he doesn't know what he's looking at.
Bro, and Sam said something about a third. I said, oh, my God.
Now, we said here at the J&J Show, after you had your first one, take the under on 2.5.
Right.
So, no, Sam, we can't go over because Brad and I both agreed.
We went over. I said over.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't. You agreed with me. You went under.
Oh, I misremembered then. I think I would go over now that he mentioned it. As soon as he just mentioned that, I changed my mind. Yeah, I was wrong.
I convinced you that John
he's about to have a child.
A third is too expensive.
As soon as you mention it, it speaks itself into existence. I planned before I had my first, and I was a one and done, man. He's having three now.
Kids are totally,
I was wrong.
Kids are totally expensive. There's no doubt.
Y'all start too early.
And the other thing I didn't account for when I made
a whole team then.
The other thing I didn't do when we made that over-under that I was wrong about, he has had a second child that is incredibly, is the word docile?
Easy. Yes. It's been easy.
And so
easy,
that's to problematic to this equation, Jason, because it throws you into the belief that all things are possible with this third one. So.
No doubt.
Now, why would Sam even entertain such a thought? Like, a lot of women decide, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have another because I miss having the baby around.
Yeah.
Something
number
I can
three.
Squeeze, something I can hold. Y'all got young Dom around.
We do. We have him.
And so the idea that she's already thinking about a third, when you have a baby in the house.
Bro, that's three's going to happen.
Hell, y'all might be looking at 5, 6, or 7. This sounds like a woman that wants a big family. You know, like her family. And doesn't she have a big one?
Yes, she does.
And she made a life
she has three
change,
sisters.
Too. I don't want to put too
three
much on Front
sisters.
Street. So.
Brad's got the...
There are several things that play into this equation that I was wrong about that I did not calculate.
That's why I think some sharp money may be coming in on over 2.5.
Easily over now. I was wrong.
I can't say easily.
It's not even close. I was so wrong.
I'm not quite there.
You can see it.
You were doing it with fade Brad intentions.
Yes.
I think I was. Well, there were a lot of things that changed. Child number two is cool. Not that your first isn't, just it's easier, you said, your words.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a life change that changed her quality of life and her time. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that's exactly right. I mean, she's working from home now. She got a raise.
Bingo.
Again, it just sort of, it opens up your, you know, flexibility in terms of raising a child. Although, again, I would still put it at plus 150, you know, but it was probably plus, you know,
that's 300. Low odds.
It was probably plus 300, you know, 6 months ago, plus 750.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's so the money has come in on the over. But obviously, two things. One, we don't control that. And B, you know, I haven't quite.
You kind of do control that, actually.
I understand that not every child is going to be as easy to deal with as my son. So that's the problem. Because I know that because I had my first one, and you know, it's there. She's been very true to herself as an infant and as a you know, now toddler. She's been very true to herself the entire way, just incredibly high maintenance the entire way. And I'm hoping that, you know, he is the same. I'm hoping that he is like take it as it comes, man. Low key, wants to sleep till 9 a.m. You know, like, I'm hoping that that's just him for the rest of his life. But that third, ooh. Now, here's the other part that you didn't mention into your...
No, please, into your, my calculus.
Into yeah. your, yeah. America's birth rate is declining.
Big time.
It's declining because people just aren't having kids anymore, right?
Nope, they are not.
And that's devastating to civilization. It's devastating to the economy. It's devastating to society. It just,
I forgot you became Elon, too, when I was making my calculus.
You can look it up, you know, in terms of impacts on, you know, look at...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.